sponsored and created by the team behind Dylan James, a collective group of creatives and thought leaders with a simple mission to help independent brands and retailers articulate their vision. Learn more about Dylan James and our story at dylanjamescollective.com.
Thing that came to mind was just how much time I would spend going back and forth to the Orchard Street store, and just remembering, you know, in hindsight, like, this is so crazy and just the nature of, like, growing up in New York City, but just remembering how cool it was and how excited everyone was about, like, Lauryn Hill or David Bowie or, you know, these incredible artists and celebrities who felt so excited about the clothing. And I didn't really, I think, understand at the time what that meant, but I remember being excited that everyone else is so excited.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little bit later on, probably when I was more in, like, middle school, high school, just seeing, you know, between Mercer Street and 14th Street, the amount of people and parties and things that were just going on all the time. And I was always, again, you know, like, to see my dad, to connect, to, you know, pick up anything logistically, like, I had to just be present with him when he was working. And and I just remember just getting that same level of, like, the buzz and excitement, but having a different context and lens in which to see it, where I was like, oh, this is actually, like, what being a successful entrepreneur means.
Hey, this is James Gaillard, and you're listening to Mise en Place. Each episode, we chat with influencers, creatives, and thought leaders very much like us and provide our listeners with an opportunity to discover the journey and blueprint that has inspired our guests to articulate their own vision. Join me this week as I sit down and chat with Roberto Crivello, the founder of Science of Apparel and Chief Creative Officer of Isaora. He's recognized by his peers as an industry leader and a visionary pushing the boundaries of fashion design well beyond technology, sustainability, and innovation. I met Roberto when I was only 17 years old and didn't know a damn thing about fashion, but he was kind enough to open his doors to me and take me under his wing. It was there that I would see a master at his work, and it was life-changing and would transform my outlook on fashion forever. All that to say that we had a very, very, very interesting conversation, and I'm happy to share it with you. Enjoy.
These materials, these new innovative technologies. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, talking, you know, the future is, you know, all these bio fabrics that are grown in labs, you know, leather grown in labs, mm-hmm. etc. I love that stuff. It's, you know, we're far away, but, you know, eventually that will be the future. So mm-hmm. we'll see. Just as long as it doesn't hurt our planet, that's really, you know, we're living here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially with the new generation that's coming up and having kids as well. Yeah. We just talked about your daughters. Yeah. You know, it's really important, obviously.
I mean, think about this. We're eating fish that has microplastics in it.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
we should all go as vegan.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think soon we'll all make that transition. Actually, funny enough, speaking of daughters, my daughter is a vegan.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she actually made the move.
Her choice.
A couple of her friends are already vegans, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And she's been pretty committed, you know. I'm really, really impressed to see.
Chapeau, hats off to that, man.
For sure. So, you know, we're trying.
I know meat is not good, and it's hurting our client, and the gases and all that kind of stuff. Oops, I hit the microphone, sorry. I don't know, man. I'm Italian.
yeah, exactly. Well, fish is definitely a part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Italian and culture. Meat. How can you go without it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to, you know, I have to do my share also. I know I have to try to cut back as much as possible, but I'm doing it in my industry.
Yeah.
I think every industry, from leaders like Apple and Nike and Amazon, they've got to change the way they do business.
Yeah.
They have to help us. They have to be the leaders and everybody else hopefully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you touched on two important points, mindset and values, right? Because it's those two that really sort of lead the change, essentially.
So listen to this. I have a little story to tell you. So I told you about my beach house, that I was cutting down the trees, etc. Mm-hmm. So I decided in the beach house to grow, I built raised beds to grow organic vegetables. Organic vegetables. And so I went to see a farmer that was nearby. Her name was KK, and she told me you got to do biodynamic. The food that she had there was so tasty.
Wow.
It was insane. It was like by far the best of the whole island. And she goes, I'm doing biodynamic. That's why they're so special. Biodynamic? What is that? Biodynamic? So she says, explains to me how the moon affects the oceans. It makes the water tide go up and down. It affects the animals. It makes them run around, all that kind of stuff. It affects us. Mm-hmm. When we have a full moon, a lot of people feel it. I feel it. So biodynamic is a real thing. It's they're growing the vegetables, in that case, with the sun and the moon. And one of the most important things is recycling compost. So you take from the ants and the cows and the horse. And so they're not wasting. Nothing goes to waste in biodynamic growing. And the best part is that everything that they're using less water. So I said, all right, so let me do this. I did it. The tomatoes that I grew, exactly how she said, planted on this day, etc. So I did that, and the tomatoes I grew were so tasty. It was insane. So I tell my partner, Aiden, I said, this is my experience that I had. Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody that has, biodynamic cotton?
And for those listeners out there, Aiden is your partner.
Aiden, yes, is my partner.
Behind Science of Apparel and also ESOR as well.
Yes, thank you for clearing that up. So I told my partner, do you know where to go? And he goes, yeah, of course. I have some good family. He calls them family. They're just good friends in Egypt. Mm-hmm. So what this guy did in Egypt, he went there in the 70s. Egypt is mostly desert.
It is, yes.
So he went there in the 70s. He went to the government. He says, I'm going to buy this piece of land, desert land. And he put like, I think about 10 to 12 inches of soil on this land. He grew cotton. He grew vegetables. He grew everything on the desert.
Wow.
And he did it all with this biodynamic system. And now
this is back in the 70s, you said?
Back in the 70s, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody knew about this. And now, only now, he has this cotton that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about it. So now we are taking this cotton, and it's called biodynamic cotton. And we're actually creating our own textile, fabrics that we're going to customers and we're wholesaling.
That's insane.
So this is the finest Giza cotton that exists in the world. It is the longest staple. It's the most expensive also. This Giza cotton is the most expensive cotton in the world. But you want quality, you want the best cotton in the world, this is where you gotta go. It uses 70% less water than regular conventional organic cotton. Wow. It's much more expensive than, I think it's about 10% more expensive than regular organic cotton, but it's worth every penny. It is by far, once you see this fabric, you're going to be blown away. So we came up with this fabric. We're developing a whole bunch of fabrics for our clients.
Wow.
You came to us, you want Nike or whatever, the Gap, and want to come to us and develop some fabrics. We'll do that for you. We'll design it for you. We'll manufacture for you, whatever it is that you need. We have factories that are really great factories in Turkey or in Egypt that can manufacture. But this biodynamic cotton is going to be revolutionary. Could you imagine?
I can, actually. I can. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
It's like we're developing a new cotton.
That's insane.
It's like it's mind blowing, to be honest with you. So I went there. This is the practice how it's got to work though.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay the farmers. You got to help these farmers. The farmers always get screwed. That's the reality. So what we did is we have our clients pay the farmers 6 months ahead of time to grow the seeds.
That's awesome.
To grow the seeds. They grow the seeds, which, you know, water that comes from the Nile. It's a really beautiful story. Mm-hmm. I went there actually to document everything. This is a wonderful experience.
Wow.
So they grow.
So just a quick question for you. So in discovering this practice, mm-hmm. essentially,
yeah.
making sort of the trip out there to Egypt, mm-hmm. to sort of do the research and discover and really sort of dive deeper into yeah. this and sort of develop it over time. Had you been to Egypt before this?
No.
Wow.
I trusted my partner and, you know, just said, this is the place to go. And so I went there and listen, the strangest thing, James, is our clients trust us.
Yeah.
Because this is such an innovative thing. And when they see the quality, et cetera, they just trusted me. They trusted us. They said, let's do it. So they put hundreds of thousands of dollars to grow for the farmers to grow this cotton.
Wow. And you were saying that you paid them well in advance.
In 6 months in advance.
Wow.
So then in September, you go pick the pick the cotton, and then, you know, you gin it, and you weave the fabric, and just, you know, it's by far the most beautiful fabric cotton in the world.
That's amazing.
So yeah, so we're developing denim with the cotton. We're developing, you know, a whole bunch of different categories with the cotton. It's going to be great.
Wow.
Very, very revolutionary. But again, it's the most expensive.
Yeah.
So, but it's the most ethical cotton that exists out there.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And just the way that they have this compost, mm-hmm. they call it black gold, because the way that it's done is
I love that black gold.
I know it's so detailed.
Yeah.
That there's so intricate. They have, you know, the cows coming from Germany and this and that. It's very, very intricate the way that they do it. They don't waste anything. The paper, recycled paper, they would scrap it up, they would tear it up, and then they would actually put it in the farm, whereas the animals would just eat the paper mixed in together with all the other food, the grass, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible how they just, the mentality, they don't waste anything.
Yeah, nothing, the resourcefulness.
Goes. Exactly, exactly.
That's
and
amazing.
The sun and the moon, that's what they're living off of, and yeah. This was a wonderful experience, and I'm so happy to be able to share this, you know, that we're going to be, you know, standing out and yeah. we're helping not only the final consumer, mm-hmm. you know, by giving them a good product, but we're helping the farmers to develop and help them, and we're proving it by paying them. It's fair trade, right? That's
yeah.
what it's called. So we're paying,
exactly, yeah.
we're paying them ahead of time to go to get the cotton.
That's extraordinary.
Who does that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anyone else. And thank you for breaking that here on the podcast. I really appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so it's fun. I feel so good about that. My partner Aiden has so much passion.
Oh, I can imagine.
He's a little bit more spiritual than I am, but he also used to have his own factory, so he knows mm-hmm. how important it is to think about the small guys, the whole chain. The whole chain is extremely important, you know, to help them out. And yeah, so that's.
Mies en Place is produced by Dylan James. Special thanks to Alessandro Scrivello and Alba Crivello. For more information or to learn more about future episodes, visit dylanjamescollective.com.